downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast with your host, Andrew T. Evans, with special guest, Chris Stefanik.
Let's ramp this baby up. It's time for another Buckeye Leafcast. I'm your host, Andy Evans, and welcome to the show. Thanks for downloading this edition of the Buckeye Leafcast, and we got some things to talk about here today, don't we? Riding solo, the intergalactic Buckeye fan, unable to make this edition, and we weren't able to do one after Ohio State's blowout win against the Bearcats last weekend, so I'm going to play a little bit of catch-up with you guys for a minute and go back and apologize to everybody in Buckeye Nation for being one of the world's biggest pessimists, one of the world's biggest doubters, seeing the glass half empty when it comes to this Buckeye team. Boy, let me tell you what. Big apology due to you guys, especially after another huge win the Buckeyes posted against the Hoosiers on Saturday. And let's go back to the Cincinnati game here real quick. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. I am sorry for doubting this team. They, at this point, after 3 weeks, have made a believer out of me, because I really thought that Cincinnati was going to come into the horseshoe led by Luke Fickell, former player, former coach, former head coach for a season. If anybody knows what it takes to win in the horseshoe, it is Luke Fickell. At one time, he held the record for the most games played for Ohio State. He might still own the record to this day. I haven't taken the time to look up if he still owns it or not. I think somebody came close here back a season or two ago. But at any rate, Luke Fickell is a guy that knows how to win. And can I just say that, seriously, without sounding like being a pessimist and not giving Ohio State enough credit, but honestly, I was disappointed. I was disappointed in that Cincinnati game. I really, really, truly thought, and I know there were a lot of people out there that felt the same way. Some people didn't, though. And I got into a little Facebook conversation with a couple of my Facebook friends that I'm gonna call out by name here in a minute and personally apologize to. I already kind of did so on Facebook, but I'm going to also do it here on the podcast and say that I am sorry for having ever doubted Ohio State's ability to not only beat Cincinnati, which I thought they'd do, but I just thought it was going to be a close, dirty, filthy, just smash mouth, rot gut football game that was possibly going to go down to the wire. I had the Buckeyes winning that game by a touchdown. And I got into a Facebook conversation with Mr. Rob Fott, Mr. AJ Moreland, and Mr. Daniel Eaton. To you three, I tip my cap, gentlemen, because you said, especially you, AJ, that Ohio State was going to win big. You said they were going to win by 25. I said you were out of your mind, and I used an expletive. Probably shouldn't have, but I used it. Used the Lord's name in vain. I try not to do that, but sometimes it just comes out, especially when I get super charged up when somebody tells me that I'm wrong and that Ohio State is going to do something that I quite frankly feel is not going to happen. And he said, Ohio State's going to win this game by 25. I said, you're out of your mind. They couldn't beat Florida Atlantic by more than 25. Now they won by 24. But nonetheless, if you can't beat Florida Atlantic by 25 points, how in the hell are you going to beat Cincinnati by more than 24 points, though? Final score, 42-0. 42-0, and boy, did Ohio State just look crisp, didn't they? I mean, Justin Fields was on point. J.K. Dobbins went nuts. Hell, I don't even think he played after the third quarter. In fact, he might have been pulled in the second half, much like yesterday against Indiana. J.K. Dobbins, what a game from the junior. Oh, my goodness, 193 yards on the ground, 22 carries, a touchdown, had a 56-yarder, ran for 8.8 yards a carry. And not to be outdone, his backup, Master Teague, only carried the ball 10 times, and had 106, a bucko 6, and a 40-yard touchdown on the ground, 10.6 yards a carry. Now, Justin Fields already said he was not happy with his performance, and you can understand why. 14-24, 199 yards through the air, 3 touchdown passes, though. Did have 4 carries for 11 yards and another rushing touchdown. So responsible for 4 touchdowns against the Hoosiers yesterday on the way to a 51-10 steamrolling of the Hoosiers in their first road game of the season, which also opened Big Ten play. And boy, Ohio State just could not have looked more impressive yesterday. And I gotta say, I'm eating crow. I ate a big fat plate of it after last week's game against Cincinnati, and I'm once again eating a big fat plate of it after Saturday's win against Indiana, because I honestly thought, on the road in Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, sometimes that place has been known to give Ohio State some problems. You know, go back to 2012, Urban's first year there. You know, 52-49 shootout, and they were able to hang on to win that one. 2015, the year after they won the national championship, they're in defense of their national title. They go over to Bloomington. And they were losing at halftime. They were losing that football game at halftime against Indiana in 2015. And if it weren't for some running back they had at the time, last name of Elliott, who had touchdown runs of 55, 65, and 75 yards all in the second half to help lead the Buckeyes back to victory. But they still had to scrap and claw and hang on to that win. Indiana scores late, makes it 34-27. Then they get the ball back and manage their way down the field. And if it weren't for a last second pass attempt by Xander Diamante, if you remember that name, Hoosier fans and Buckeye fans, last second pass from Diamante gets batted down in the end zone by Eli Apple to hang on to a 34-27 win. So I thought, you know, every few years visiting Bloomington, things get a little hairy. We're due. Because when we went over there in 2017, if you remember, we opened up the season, not just Big Ten play like they did on Saturday, but to open up the season in 2017. And of course, you remember JK, boy, he must love Memorial Stadium. JK had like, what, 180-some rushing yards against the Hoosiers in his first game ever as a Buckeye and came out and went nuts. I believe he had like 181 yards rushing, which to this day stands. Of course, it was only 2 years ago, so it's not like there's really been any other true freshman to come in and start and get a true freshman rushing record in their debut. But 181, 182 yards. But that still stands, obviously, as the record. Now, they ever going to get another true freshman to come in and start right away? Well, they're so deep right now at running back. You know, after JK's gone this year, because he's gone. There's just no way that dude is sticking around next year. He's off to the NFL. In fact, he might find himself a seat in New York when all is said and done this year. I mean, man, Looked a little rough against Florida Atlantic. I say a little rough. He ran for like 91 yards and had a touchdown against the Owls in this year's season opener. But then he goes nuts against Cincinnati. And then he goes ballistic yesterday once again against the Hoosiers. Just an unbelievable performance by the junior running back. But yeah, Justin Fields, you know, was not real happy with his play. Once again, understandable. But here's the thing. Never turned the ball over. In fact, aside from the two turnovers that they had against Florida Atlantic, they haven't turned the ball over since. So, and I think that's saying something because this Cincinnati team, of course, hindsight will be 20/20. But I still think that they're a good football team, and they're going to do some damage in the American Athletic Conference. Indiana, well, you know, hindsight will be 20/20 with these guys as well. You know, they were 2-0. Granted, they didn't really have stiff competition. I believe they played like Eastern Illinois and South Montana State University for their first two games. That's not exactly right. But I know that their competition, their first two games were not great. But at any rate, just Ohio State just looked damn good. Damn good against Indiana, didn't they? Seriously. The defense, oh my goodness, man. This defense, I mean, people were saying that, the you know, before the season started, you heard the rumblings that the defense looked crisper. They looked sharper. They looked more in tune. And as of right now, boy, they just plug and play throughout the game. You know, you do see primarily your starters, you know, throughout the first half, first three quarters, and then you see the second team come in there in the fourth quarter. But there are times, like yesterday, I remember early in the second half, you saw Josh Proctor out there, redshirt freshman safety from Oklahoma. You know, you're seeing Cameron Brown out there, a guy they brought in as a wide receiver from St. Louis, Brothers Christian High School, and he's now been converted into a defensive back. He's out there playing in the second half early. And, of course, the defensive line, I mean, they don't even have Jonathan Cooper right now, and they're not skipping a beat. Zach Harrison, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, they get their first sacks yesterday. Tough Borland, he had a decent game. Pete Werner, boy, that was one of the better games I've seen out of Pete Werner. In fact, he and Jordan Fuller both tied for the team lead in tackles yesterday with 5. And Werner had 2 tackles for loss. Great game by him. Of course, Malik Harrison, the senior linebacker, 4 tackles, 1.5 for loss. Chase Young. Oh, man, this is going to be a fun third and final year to see you play, Chase Young, because at this point, you're obviously not just playing for a first-round draft pick, which, you know, let's knock on wood. All things go well for you this season. Let's hope it doesn't turn out to be like a junior season for a defensive end that we know that happened last year, and that was, of course, Nicky Bosa, that lower core injury that put him out after the third game of the season. So, Chase Young, you made it this far without injury, and if things go well, you're not only going to be drafted in the first round, you might be taken as the number one overall pick. I mean, dude's just an animal, just a beast. I mean, here's what's crazy. 3 tackles. That's all he had yesterday were 3 tackles. Didn't it seem like he had more? But he's just so disruptive getting to the quarterback that he influences plays to happen and makes the quarterback do things that he doesn't want to do. Scramble out of the pocket, throw the ball a lot sooner than he'd like to. But Chase Young, only 3 tackles yesterday, but 2.5 of those tackles were for loss, 2 of them being sacks. So just an animal, just an absolute animal. Tyler Friday, another defensive lineman, had a solid game. 3 tackles, 2 for loss. One of them was a sack. And then there's the secondary. And this secondary looks absolutely nothing, nothing like they did last year. This is a complete 180. This is the silver bullets that I can remember back in the mid to late 90s and the early 2000s. Even you know, throughout the meat of Jim Tressel's career, and even kind of near the end, you know, when they had defensive backs, you know, like Ashton Yabody there in the mid-2000s, and some guy named Malcolm Jenkins, I don't know, some two-star kid from New Jersey that turned out to become a Thorpe Award winner, which is handed out to the best defensive back in the nation. And I don't know, I think he went on to win a couple of Super Bowl rings. One just here recently, a couple of seasons ago, with the Philadelphia Eagles. So these defensive backs this year are just playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with purpose. You know, Jeff Hafley has just come in here and changed the whole attitude of this secondary. And man, Damon Arnette, where have you been? Where have you been? You know, Ryan Day, after the game, was asked about Damon Arnette and really, you know, just talked about how Damon just hit the reset button and he's flipped a switch and he's completely turned himself around. And I'll bet Damon Arnette now, after yesterday's game, is happy that he came back. 2 tackles, 2 pass breakups. One of them was great there in the end zone. Boy, I thought that dude from Indiana had caught that ball, and he did catch it. And at the last second, Damon Arnette knocked it out of his hands to save a touchdown pass and catch for the Hoosiers. Or should I say, saved it for the Buckeyes. And then, of course, an interception that he took to the house for 97 yards. And the way he did it, I mean, he steps in front of that pass, and then he all of a sudden turns, he's got his ballerina shoes, and turns on his little pirouettes, catches the ball, spins around, then just speeds up the right sideline, catches a couple of half-hearted blocks, because at that point, Indiana was just deflated. I mean, they worked their way all the way down the field on that drive, and Peyton Ramsey throws a pick, and it goes for 6. And by about the 30-yard line, there was just no one around Damon Arnette. And he just kind of waltzes into the end zone. So, unbelievable play out of the secondary. Of course, Jordan Fuller, you know, he had a great game with those 5 tackles. He had a pass breakup as well. You know, Sean Wade has been playing tough all year. He had 3 tackles yesterday. Had a pass breakup, 1 tackle for loss. You know, Brendan White playing solid football as well. When he's out there, it seems like he and Wade right now are kind of switching back and forth between this bullet safety position. So they are just playing solid football there in the secondary. And Jeff Okuda also 3 tackles. 1 pass breakup. So just the whole secondary, the defensive line, you know, just between all of the guys that they can just swip and swap in and out and just piecemeal together. You got Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Tyler Friday and B.B. Landers and Devon Hamilton in, and then all of a sudden Tommy Togiai and Haskell Garrett and Tyreek Smith and Chase Young are in there. I mean, and it's, you know, you have a little bit of consistency there to start the game, but once the game goes on, just pay attention to who's coming in and out on that defensive line, because at any point they can put anybody in and they just don't skip a beat. They just do not skip a beat. So great win yesterday by the Buckeyes. Once again, final score 51-10. Buckeyes rolled up 528 yards, 314 on the ground, 314, 214 through the air, 314 yards. First 300-yard rushing game of the season. Let's hope it's not the last. More than likely, it's not going to be. Heck, they might even be able to post 400 against the Redhawks this coming Saturday in the Horseshoe. But just an unbelievable performance by these Buckeyes. So they're making me a believer. They are making me a believer. And like I said, I've got to apologize to Buckeye Nation for seriously not putting enough stock into this team, not giving them enough credit. I guess it's just the Urban Meyer hangover, you know? I felt as good of a coach that Ryan Day is going to be. I think he's going to be a solid head coach at Ohio State. Is he going to be able to replicate what Urban did? Well, only time's going to tell. But at this point, he's turned me into a believer because I truly thought that they would look a little rough against Florida Atlantic, which they did after the first 8 minutes. Let's face it, Florida Atlantic actually won that football game 21-17. But was that because Ryan Day just knew what he had? He knew what they were capable of. He didn't want to tip his hand too much going into these last 2 weeks against Cincinnati and Indiana, so he pulled the reins back a little bit. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe that was just kind of the first game bugs being worked out. Florida Atlantic made some adjustments, threw Ohio State for a loop. After that first 8 minutes, you know, Ohio State did not look great, but they did enough to hold on and win the football game. First 8 minutes, they were obviously lights out. After that, they looked shaky, but they won the football game, and they did it convincingly by 24 points. Obviously, Cincinnati, complete turnaround. You know, shut out the Bearcats and Luke Fickell. Once again, a team I think is going to be a good football team, and that could be one of only maybe their only loss this year. Now, maybe two, maybe three. But I still think they're a bowl-worthy team. And Luke Fickell's going to have them playing very well for the rest of the season. In Indiana, okay, yeah, it's Indiana. Indiana, you know, has perennially been a 500 or worse team for the last umpteen years in the Big Ten Conference. I mean, I think the last time that Indiana really ever made any noise nationally was literally back in the late 80s and early 90s when they had some guy named Anthony Thompson who turned out to be a halfway decent running back. That was probably the last time I really remember Indiana being relevant. And of course, that's the last time that they beat Ohio State was in 1988. And I remember when they tied in 1990. Oh, my God, I was furious. They just tied Indiana? Indiana? Indiana took them to a tie? You've got to be kidding me. But still, it's a Big Ten team, and you're on the road. And once again, Bloomington has been known to give Ohio State fits. Well, not this past Saturday. Not this past Saturday. So this Ohio State team, absolutely 100% without a doubt, is making me a believer. They're turning me around. So having said that, we've got the Red Hawks of Miami University down there in Oxford, Ohio, coming into the Horseshoe this coming Saturday. Going to be a 3:30 kickoff. And, you know, I don't expect anything less than what I've seen now from Ohio State against Miami. You know, Miami's, you know, they've been known to put some teams together over the years. But they're a 1-2 football team that, guess what? Lost on Saturday to Cincinnati. Final score 35-13. And what's amazing is they had a 10-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. 10-0 lead over Cincinnati. Boy, Cincinnati must have been a little hungover after that game against the Buckeyes. Miami jumps out to a 10-0 first quarter lead. And then after that, it was all Bearcats scoring 35 points in the second and third quarter and held Miami to a third third quarter field goal, and that was it. 35-13 final score. Bearcats over Red Hawks. You know, logically, you deduce Ohio State pounds Cincinnati in the shoe, 42-0. Cincinnati puts it on Miami, 35-13. Logically, you think Ohio State should be able to win this game, 72-5. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. But having said that, I do expect Ohio State, once again, at this point, nothing. They are not doing any. They are doing everything to change my mind. They're not doing anything to keep my current frame of thought going, that this team was going to look a little rough. And I get it. You know, I get it. Ohio State is loaded with talent. I just thought the offense was going to look a little dusty, a little rusty, a little rough, at least throughout the first, you know, 3-4 games of the season. Yes, even against the likes of Indiana, of Florida Atlantic, especially against Cincinnati, even against maybe Miami of Ohio, it'd take them a few games to figure things out, and then you'd see things pick up and get rolling. But that's not been the case. I mean, they have absolutely come out of the gates and just been en fuego to start this season. So, of course, we'll find out what this team's really made of when they get into the Big Ten. But at this point, I don't see why they shouldn't roll over the Big Ten, too. The Big Ten looked like garbage yesterday. I mean, garbage. Are you serious, Maryland? After the beatdown you put on Syracuse, a ranked Syracuse team, you busted out for more than 60 points in that football game, and then all you could do was muster 17 against Temple? Finally got yourselves ranked. Finally, Maryland. I haven't seen a Maryland football team ranked in I don't know how long, almost like Indiana. Maryland's really never been relevant in football. Never. They've always been a basketball school. And they finally get themselves ranked after stomping all over Syracuse. And then all you can do is muster 17 damn points against Temple? Temple? And of course, they lost the football game, 20-17. Then you have Illinois at home losing to Eastern Michigan on a last-second field goal, which, you know what, shouldn't be surprising, actually, because that was the third year in a row now that Eastern Michigan has beaten a Big Ten team on the road. In that Big Ten team's house, this was the third year in a row that Eastern Michigan has beaten a Big Ten team on their turf. And they did it again yesterday against Illinois. And Illinois, you know, at one point, Illinois had a decent lead in the first half and then just fell apart and allowed Eastern Michigan to come back into that football game. And Illinois actually was down by a touchdown. They managed to get down the field, score a game-tying touchdown with barely any time left in the game, and let Eastern Michigan go down the field and set themselves up for the game-winning field goal. And they did. They did. Unbelievable. 34-31 final score. Fighting Illini. You know, Lovey Smith, man. If Lovey Smith isn't out at Illinois, I get it. You know, Illinois, you know, and there's Illinois for you. There's another team that hasn't been relevant since probably like the 80s or at least maybe early 90s. I can remember they had some good teams in the early 90s. Some teams that beat Ohio State. And I remember them giving Ohio State fits for years. I mean, they had some epic battles throughout the 80s and early 90s. But since then, you know, Illinois's largely been irrelevant, except for, of course, the 07 season. Yeah, that one little outlier there that completely you just cut away from the mathematical equation. 07, I get it. Yeah, you know, coming to the shoe. Juice Williams, yeah. We don't have to go into it. But aside from that, after yesterday's game, why should it be any different? Why should you be any different, Illinois? I mean, you are that irrelevant. And then how about Michigan State? How about good old Sparty? Boy, that offense is just looking as sharp as ever, right? 7 points against Arizona State. Now, I get it. Herm Edwards, he's a defensive guy, loves defense. But to muster 7 points And Michigan State's got a tough defense too. Held Arizona State to 10. But that's your final score, 10-7. 7 points, Michigan State. Their offense is garbage. Their offense was garbage last year. Brian Lewerke, He's never been it. And I know that quarterbacks haven't necessarily been too high on the priority list at Michigan State. Typically, they love to run the football. But of course, you know, back a few years ago, a guy named Connor Cook, who was pretty good, made it to the pros for a hot minute. He might still be there. I don't know. I haven't heard his name around the pro aspect in a while. But just a hot mess. A hot mess. Losing at home, ranked to an unranked Arizona State team. Arizona State now, they're 3-0. They're probably going to be ranked. So Michigan State did not impress me at all yesterday. Once again, their offense, I mean, as long as you put a little pressure on Brian Lewerke, he's just an extremely, extremely average quarterback. That's without pressure. Put some pressure on him, he's going to collapse and just fold. Curl up in the corner, suck his thumb, and cry like a little baby. That's Brian Lewerke for you. Then you've got Minnesota, who did win their football game, but barely, over FCS. God, who the hell was it they played? Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern. 35-32 final score. And that was a game. That was actually a pretty good game. I don't know if many of you watched it. It was on Big Ten Network, but that actually turned out to be a pretty damn good game. And Minnesota has to kick a last-second field goal to beat Georgia Southern at home, 35-32. Now Minnesota's 3-0. And one of their wins was against Fresno State, at Fresno State. Once again, a field goal win, 38-35. And they started off the season with a win at home against South Dakota State, 28-21. But right there, Minnesota, you are a fraudulent 3-0, as far as I'm concerned. Because two of your three wins are against FCS teams. So that's why I can't give Minnesota any credit right now. And unfortunately for us, and fortunately for them, we don't play each other this year. And then how about Penn State? Now, okay, rivalry game, hosting the Pitt Panthers, but that was a battle as well. Final score 17-10. There were some people out there that said at the beginning of the season, don't doubt if Penn State goes like 9-4, you know, maybe 10-3. And, you know, Pitt's now 1-2 football team, and they're Pitt. They're another team that, God, I mean, when's the last time you remember Pitt being relevant? Like early mid-2000s? I could remember when they won the ACC in, what was that, 2004? Went out to the Fiesta Bowl and got rolled by Utah. Some guy who played quarterback for them named Alex Smith. Then there was some guy who was their head coach named Urban Meyer, who led Utah to an undefeated season and just crushed Pitt that year. And I think Pitt had like 3 or 4 losses that season and still somehow made it to a BCS bowl game. But other than that, I mean, Pitt's just another, you know, bottom dwelling, you know, if they're lucky, mid-tier Power 5 conference football team. And Penn State did not look real great against them. Now, yeah, I get it. You know, they put it on Buffalo the week before, and they trashed Idaho 79-7. Tell you what, you score 79 points. I mean, that's saying something. But they could only score 17 against Pitt. So, you know, Penn State, 3-0. I don't want to call them fraudulent, but after a 79-7 beatdown, then you have a little bit of trouble. I don't want to say a little bit of trouble. It looked a little dicey against Buffalo in the first half, and then they came out in the second half, and they looked good. They rolled over them. I mean, 45-13 final score, so you can't take that away from Penn State. But 17-10 win over Pitt at home. Now, I get it. Rivalry game. It was the 100th meeting that they're now apparently going to take a break from for however long. They haven't stipulated how long of a break they're going to take, but for whatever reason, they're discontinuing that rivalry game for an indefinite amount of time. And then you've got Purdue. Purdue. Ah, Purdue. Oh, Boilermakers. 1-2. Lost at Nevada. Should have won. Had a big lead in that game by, like, what, 17 points at one point. Allowed the Wolfpack to come back and beat them 34-31. They did have a nice win at home then. They followed it up with a win over Vandy. 42-24. But then on Saturday, they played TCU, and TCU pretty much put it on them, 34-13. But of course, Ohio State doesn't play Purdue either. I should probably really be keying on teams from the other division and in the division that Ohio State plays. You know, you got Northwestern, the Wildcats. Did beat UNLV on Saturday, 30-14, got their first win of the season after taking a break last weekend and losing at Stanford 17-7, which Stanford now looks completely fraudulent as well. Got smoked by Central Florida. Of course, Central Florida, good football team. They're ranked in the top 25. And then got beat down hardcore by USC the weekend before that, and then USC turns around and loses to BYU. So Northwestern 1-1, though. Buckeyes do play the Wildcats on Friday, October 18th. Yeah, that's right. Friday, an 8:30 game on Fox Sports 1. I don't know if I ever remember Ohio State playing on a Friday. Do you? I can remember some Thursday games. Indiana back 2017 to start the year was a Thursday night game. I remember they played Marshall back in, what was that, like 2009, 2010. That was a Thursday night game. But a Friday night game against the Wildcats in Evanston. So that ought to be an interesting football game. Nebraska and Wisconsin. Those are your three cross-division games. Now, Nebraska had a good win, a little bit of redemption, if you will, after losing in overtime to Colorado, a game they should have won and lost. They could be 3-0 right now and still ranked, but thanks to that loss to Colorado, it knocked them out of the top 25. But they did come back and pummel the snot out of Northern Illinois 44-8. But they didn't look real crisp in that opener against South Alabama, did they? 35-21 was the final score, and they just looked sluggish. And I think that showed in how they let Colorado come back and beat them. Of course, that game was at Colorado, and that was an old-school Big 8 game, Big 12 game. I can remember way back in the day, Nebraska and Colorado, man, they when those two teams in the 90s, boy, they would slug it out. Had another slugfest. This time it was the Buffaloes on top. But Nebraska, that's going to be an interesting football game over there in Lincoln in 2 weeks, Saturday, September 28th. Time yet to be announced. But I'm just not real scared of the Big Ten right now. I'm just not real scared of it. You know, Maryland, I was starting to get nervous on, especially what happened last year over there in College Park. The Buckeyes do host them the first weekend, or actually the second weekend in November. But now I'm not so nervous. Now I'm not so scared. But then again, those are, you know, that's the thing. You know, were we nervous about Purdue? I remember saying last year I thought it was an Iowa-style trap game. Were we nervous about Iowa in 2017? Nervous about Purdue last year? You know, Maryland, granted, it's at home, so that's why I don't think it could be a Purdue or an Iowa-style game. I mean, you never know. You never know in college football. But at this point, you know, does the Big Ten make you nervous? Does the Big Ten make you nervous? After yesterday, no. No. I'm not nervous about the Big Ten. You know, we host Michigan State this year. We host Wisconsin this year. We host Maryland. We host Penn State. I mean, listen to that. Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State, and Maryland, all in the shoe. I mean, it hit the road for Nebraska, Northwestern, and Michigan. Oh, and Rutgers. And they obviously played yesterday on the road against Indiana. So if I've got to sit here and gamble to say just by having that home field advantage, who they play on the road, yeah, at this point, Nebraska, yeah, maybe a little nervous, you know. Last few seasons against Nebraska, though, remember that game, what was that, 2016, I believe, here in the Shoe? Nebraska was like 10th rated in the country, and Ohio State won like 63-10. You know, Nebraska is one of those teams that they seem to be having a good season. Then they run into Ohio State and everything falls apart. And after, once again, you know, seeing what they did a couple weekends ago against Colorado, granted, yeah, nice win yesterday, but a sluggish start against South Alabama. I'm still skeptical on the Cornhuskers. So there's basically, I'm feeling very confident. Now, Wisconsin at home. Yeah. Yeah. Even maybe Michigan State at home. They seem to play us tougher up there than down here in the Shoe, except for 2015. That was all ridiculous, though. That was an anomaly. I'm sorry. And a win on a last-second field goal. Offensive play calling was terrible in that game. I get it. Zeke had the big goiter on his leg earlier in the week. But he was pissed. Said he should have, you know, gotten way more carries than, what, 12 or 13 that he did. But Steve, Michigan State, I'll obviously give him credit. They're still Michigan State. They do like to play the Buckeyes tough. I mean, last few years, it's not been necessarily smooth sailing, except for 2017 when they came out and ran for like 335 yards on the nation's number one rushing defense, went berserk in that game and won 35-3. But still, Michigan State, you know, okay, at home. All right. Northwestern on the road, maybe, you know, a little nervous. Coming home for Wisconsin, yeah. It's Wisconsin. We'll find out this coming Saturday. Michigan and Wisconsin. That could be a good football game. But we'll find out what kind of Michigan is going to show up. If it's the Michigan that showed up against Army, which some people may not be giving Army enough credit for that loss. Or Michigan, maybe enough credit for that win. I mean, Army, last couple of years, Army's actually been a pretty good football team. Don't forget, last year, Army took Oklahoma to within a touchdown in Norman. Army took Oklahoma, a team that made the playoff last year, to within a touchdown. Almost beat them. So maybe Michigan, honestly, I know, Buckeye fans, you're probably roiling right now, like, what the hell is he talking about? But sincerely, maybe we should give Michigan a little more credit for that win, because Army, once again, hindsight, though, being 2020, we'll find out, but Army very well could be that people look back on that win and go, wow, that was actually pretty amazing that Michigan held on in double overtime to beat Army by a field goal. But we'll see. Then you've got, you know, Maryland at home, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. What kind of Maryland are we going to see? Was that loss to Temple an aberration, an anomaly for them? Or is that going to turn out to be truly the win against Syracuse was the aberration and the anomaly, and Maryland's just another 500 football team that could give Ohio State fits in the Shoe? We'll see. Rutgers, Piscataway, meh. Penn State at home. Yeah. Last couple games, obviously, we know how those have gone against the Nittany Lions. And against Pitt, you know, I wasn't real impressed, but it is still Penn State, but we'll see. And then, of course, the game at the end of the season, noon in the Big House. And, you know, there's been a couple of actually, the last time, God, when's the last time? Well, 2013. Of course, 2011, they lost. 2013, the unbelievable 42-41 thriller where Michigan goes for two and Tyvis Powell steps in front of the pass. Was that Tyvis Powell? I'm pretty sure that was Tyvis Powell who picked it off in the end zone to preserve the one-point win over the Wolverines there in Ann Arbor, the Smelly Reds. But it's always T-ton, you know? And you just never know what you're going to get. And, of course, this being Ryan Day's first season as head coach, first time being the head coach in the Big House, and Harbaugh desperately needs to win against Ohio State. I mean, if anything, just to save his ass from possibly getting fired at the end of this season, Jim Harbaugh absolutely 100% needs to beat Ohio State. Not even necessarily get to the Big Ten championship game. That'll help, obviously, if he can beat Ohio State, which then gets him into the Big Ten championship game. But that's something he has yet to do since coming in as head coach in 2015. And, of course, both those games that they played up there, 2015 was a rout. It was 14-10 at the half. Michigan was hanging tough with Ohio State. Final score, Ohio State 42, Michigan 13. Ohio State just completely turned on the jets there in the second half and just roasted the Rodents in their house. And then 2017, you remember, that was the crazy game where Michigan went up early second quarter, 14-0. And then JT led him back there in the second quarter to tie up the ball game going into halftime at 14s. Then, of course, Michigan comes out third quarter, scores, but Denzel Ward with the blocked extra point. I mean, an extra point. Who cares about an extra point? Denzel Ward put that much effort into an extra point that he blocks it. And that really did turn the tide after that. Final score, Ohio State 31, Michigan 20. Yeah, that was the last time that Michigan scored in that football game. So the last two games up in the Big House have you know, pretty much looked like convincing wins for the Buckeyes. But totally different scenario this year. So we're going to find out. But having said that, after yesterday, I'm definitely feeling a lot better about taking on Big Ten teams than I was to start the season. So we're going to find out exactly what Ohio State's made of, as well as what this conference is made of. But at this point, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man. You know, the Buckeyes are serving it up. I did not want to take a sip to start the season. But after last weekend against Cincinnati and after Saturday's game against Illinois, after Saturday's game against Indiana, I'm starting to take a few sips. I'm not guzzling yet. I'm not guzzling because once again, I am a glass half empty kind of guy. Call it reverse psychology. Call it what you will. I guess to me, I believe that if I don't give Ohio State enough credit, if they lose, I'm not as let down. And B, if they win, I'm obviously happier. And if they win by a bunch, like they did against Cincinnati and Indiana, I'm even happier than that. I'm floating on cloud nine. So call it what you will. I'm not a hater. I just kind of, I like to temper my expectations. I like to temper them and just try and remain as low-key as possible. But there are definitely some games now in this schedule I'm feeling a lot more confident about after seeing the Big Ten play the way they did on Saturday. So having said that, folks, I'm going to jump off the microphone here and actually go do some things. It is a beautiful day here in the Central Ohio area. And wherever you are listening to this podcast, I hope you get out there, enjoy the rest of your morning and afternoon as well. You have a good week. And I appreciate you guys downloading this edition of the show. The Buckeye Leafcast, brought to you by Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. It's not clean until it's Christie clean. Be sure to check out her Facebook page at Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. I'm Andy Evans. Once again, thanks for downloading this edition of the show. And until the next time, I am going to leave you like we normally do. OH. I'm going to assume I heard a hearty IO back on that one. Go Bucks!
I want to go back.